Man, it sure feels like it's been forever since I've had a guest on my show. God, I'm just getting tired of yelling into a formless void. At least I have another chapter book to keep me company, right? I mean, these things are just gifts that keep on giving, right? They go in unexpected directions. They tell us stories we never think we'd get out of Bear Country. Haunted mansions, secret passages, kidnappings and murder, ancient grudges, new mutinies. We never know what to expect. So even though I'm alone again, naturally, I can take solace in the fact that I have no idea what's going to happen in this next chapter book, The Coughing Catfish. Wait. Wait.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're taking a look at two books by Happy House Publishing, The Berenstain Bears and The Coughing Catfish, and The Berenstain Bears.
Ah, shoot. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I can't believe I'm talking about the Berenstain Bears and the Coughing Catfish again. At least it's been a while. The last time I spoke about the Coughing Catfish was episode 61, back in July of 2016. I was freshly 40 and looking forward to a life of new possibilities, little suspecting I'd have to return time and again to a book about a large fish with a cough. So, The Coughing Catfish. Well, if you recall from the previous entry, the plot is simple. Jake, the biggest catfish in Lake Grizzly, has developed a cough. The cubs take the story to Actual Factual, who determines Lake Grizzly is polluted. He takes the cubs up in an airship to view the pollution and then under the water to find the source of the issue. While scuba diving, they discover a sunken pirate ship filled with treasure that finances Actual Factual's cleanup of Lake Grizzly. Jake's cough is cured, and everyone lives happily ever after, presumably. And that's it. That's the bare-bones story of the Berenstain Bears and the Coughing Catfish. Well, good night, everyone. I'm kidding. It wouldn't be a Berenstain Bears chapter book if it didn't start off telling one story, only to violently shift gears and introduce some sort of horrible criminal activity, so don't worry, this is no exception. Actually, this is a Berenstain Bears Scouts book now. They've rewritten it to incorporate these scouts into it, even though their scouting only plays a very small part of the story. There are merit badges involved, yes, but honestly, they could have been left out entirely. They're not even the gateway into the adventure. Grizzly Gramps is. So 1995's The Berenstain Bears Scouts and the Coughing Catfish is more or less based on the ABC television episode of the Berenstain Bears Saturday morning cartoon, The Coughing Catfish, that originally aired in December of 1986, so a little over 30 years ago, well, almost 31 years ago now. There are substantial differences, though. The basic plot is there, the plot that I related to you, but the some characters have been added. Motivations have been altered, science is given a larger role, and there are bad guys, albeit ineffectual bad guys who don't even get any actual story time. We still have the cubs, but of course Lizzie and Fred are there, Lizzie in the role of animal protector and Fred in the role of fact shouter. Again, these Bear Scouts books struggle really hard with fitting all four cubs into the stories or originally written to showcase brother and sister. Especially Lizzie. Like, sister has already been established as the animal lover in the book series, so having Lizzie jump in to fill the role is just awkward, and it kind of marginalizes her in the story into just sort of this like knee-jerk character who just responds to perceived animal cruelty. Well, it's not so. Well, we'll get to it. Okay, so in place of Papa being obsessed with catching Jake, which was the sort of the driving force that started off the original stories, Papa has been replaced with Grizzly Gramps, who's been after this giant catfish for decades. Lake Grizzly is still horribly polluted. Gramps caught a box spring in this book instead of a boot or a tin can like we get in the earlier ones. But But yeah, so it's polluted with like garbage. Just there's a lot of garbage that floats up. And Jake is still discovered coughing. He's in a shallow part of the lake. He's kind of like washed ashore from the lake. And he's like lying in mud. He's gasping for breath. He's coughing. However, an enormous alteration to the story has occurred when Jake is discovered. No longer is he the hard-voiced king of Lake Grizzly of the cartoon and the storybook. No, no, no. This Jake the Catfish is, he's still king, but in name only. Otherwise, he is just a large fish with no personality or apparently any sentience. He's just an animal. He's been demoted from capital A animal to lowercase animal, to borrow a trick from Gregory Maguire. He's just an animal. He's not an animal. He's not a talking funny animal. He's just a fish. He's a big fish. And it's smart that they did this because Jake's plight is less a lesson in loving Mother Nature in this book. And it's more the beginning of an investigation into the dirty doings around Lake Grizzly. So one thing that gets pointed out repeatedly is that Gramps' obsession with catching Jake stops as soon as Jake is found suffering. So it's Gramps who demands Jake be taken to actual factual. And this gives us a little insight into the heart of Grizzly Gramps, a heart that has otherwise been painted pretty dark in these chapter books, politically, socially, and emotionally. It's a pretty shriveled up heart at some points. He loves the thrill of the hunt, but he doesn't hold any malice against Jake, the giant fish. He doesn't want Jake harmed, merely bested. So the bears haul Jake to the Bearsonian Museum, where Actual Factual puts him in a tank and discovers Jake and presumably the whole lake has been poisoned with chromium. So this isn't a cute, you know, boots and tin cans story of water pollution. This is industrial runoff. And we get descriptions of what chromium is and how he discovers it and the tests he does. And so Actual Factual enlists the aid of a bunch of children, because that's what the bears in bear country do, in tracking down the source of the pollution. So they take his invention, it's a combination airship submarine called Saucer One, on an investigative trip, first over the lake. Actual Factual posits that it might be the Bog Brothers somehow polluting the lake, as they are known to live near Lake Grizzly in Gator Swamp on a rock called Skull Island, which, well, the implications here are hilarious, especially since we already know that Bear Country houses giant mammals in its mountains. So what's funny is we get more description of the Bog Brothers have been in and out of these books. Every once in a while, they get brought up again. One or two of them will pop up as sort of villains. I mean, you remember they were the original drug dealers. They showed up in our last book as the shoplifters from Grizzly Mall, but or Bear Country Mall. But they're not really. Hey, we don't know how many Bog Brothers there are. We rarely learn their names. We just know that they are there. They're in the swamp. And they are up to no good. They get described frequently as very violent, like characters you don't want to go up against. Gramps says it's the whole Bog clan. That's the thing. So this isn't just the brothers. This is an extended family. They're a bunch of gun-toting, bootlegged, barn-burning varmints who'd shoot you as soon as look at you. And we get this great like sort of family portrait of the Bog brothers in the book. And Gramps says, what I'm trying to say is that if you're fixing a tango with the Bogs, let's just turn this thing around and head for home right now. And we get Actual Factual using the expression fixin', which is nice. He says, we're not fixin', planning to tango with anyone. So we know that they're heading off into trouble. We know that the Bog Brothers are out there. They're vicious. They're violent. They have guns. They are willing to shoot to protect. The reason the Bog compound, which is what it is, it's an enormous compound, hasn't been raided by the cops in the first place, and this is said in the book, is that the police are terrified of encountering the Bog Brothers. They are fully armed. They know the area well. The police could go in there and just literally be massacred. There could be a Bear Country police massacre if they try to go in and shake down the Bog Brothers. Plus, it's really hard to prove they've done anything wrong. They don't have actual evidence against them. It's just everyone sort of knows that they're there doing terrible things. So anyway, here it is. We, the readers, are blessed with some more information about the history of Bear Country. We learned that Lake Grizzly is in fact connected to an ocean, a question I had in the original Coughing Catfish episode, and that Bagwell Boggs, an ancestor of the Bog Brothers, who are not, notice, the Boggs brothers, they are the Bog Brothers, but he is Bagwell Boggs, otherwise known as Black Bear the Pirate, lost his ship, the Hellion Queen, in the midst of terrible Lake Grizzly storm, And I want to go on the record right now and say that the Hellion Queen is a pretty all right name for a pirate ship. So, actual factual, the Scouts and Gramps, who is there with them, by the way, dive under the water in Saucer 1 and follow a chromium trail. So, actual factual has this computer sensor that lets them know what chemical is in the water. So, they're following this, the signal of chromium. And the chromium trail leads them right up to the location of the source of the pollution. So, they put on scuba gear. Actual factual and the Scouts swim through the poisoned water. And so, they come across the Bog Brothers compound, where the Bogs themselves are operating an illegal alligator skin harvesting operation, which is pretty dark. They actually witness one of them kill an alligator and haul it away to have its skin stripped off of it. And I do want to point out at this point that, so this is the Bear Scouts. Again, we haven't seen them do any real scouting, but in the beginning of the book, it points out that they are going after their scuba diving merit badges. And that brother and Fred are confident about getting theirs, but they're not sure about Lizzie and sister, who are 2 years younger. Scuba diving isn't just swimming, they point out. It's complicated, and it requires a lot of memorization. It requires a lot of practice. They make a big point of talking about how difficult scuba diving is and how it may be too complicated for sister and Lizzie to do. And then that's totally forgotten because sister and Lizzie basically just throw on scuba suits and jump in the water, and that's it. Like, they don't have any trouble. So the Bog Brothers are killing alligators, harvesting their skins, and they've been even using chromium to treat the skins. I guess it's chromium is a chemical that's used a lot in, or was used a lot in, tanning. So, and then, like, just dumping the runoff into the water. So they call the cops, the Bear SWAT team arrives, which is pretty cool, in helicopters, and they arrest the Bogses. That's it. On the trip back through the water, the Cubs and Actual Factual discover the remains of the Hellion Queen. The computer starts sensing another heavy metal in the water, and it's gold. They find not a treasure chest, like they do in the books in the original cartoon, but they find Black Bear's dining set, which happens. They don't know this when they first grab it. They bring it up to the surface, and they accidentally drop a plate, and the metal exterior crumbles away, and underneath is pure gold. So the Black Bear's dining set is made of pure gold. Squire Grizzly buys the gold. Actual Factual uses the money to raise the Hellion Queen and restore it into an attraction called Pirate's Cove, sort of an amusement park, tourist trap. And the proceeds of that go toward preserving Lake Grizzly. Old Jake is returned to the lake, and Gramps gives up his pursuit of the fish. And he says, like, my whole point was to catch Jake. I've caught him. Like, I caught him once. That's it. I don't need to catch him again. And that's the end. It does make a little point here at the end, which is the Bear Scouts looked out over beautiful, healthy Lake Grizzly. It seemed very strange how Black Bear, the pirate ancestor of the Bogs, who had almost killed Lake Grizzly, was helping to save it. But that's how things happen sometimes. And Lake Grizzly is presumably healthy. People stop littering there. It gives them a sense of pride in their lake, and the new attraction is wonderful. And that's pretty much it. It's a Bear Scouts book. It's an adaptation of a cartoon episode, stretched out, put some bad guys in it, and there's not really a whole lot else to say. Is it a good book? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's fairly solid. You get a lot of information about chromium, for certain. You get a little information about pollution, how pollution works, how it gums up animals. It's a little more sciencey than the original cartoon was. And Jake the Catfish gets demoted to just Catfish, which I find fascinating. But again, these books are set in kind of a weird variation on Bear Country. They're telling the cartoon stories, but not necessarily the way the cartoon tells the stories. So was I happy to have to go back and read the story of the coughing catfish yet again? No, not really. I think this is a story better suited for just brother and sister. I feel like it's a little bogged down, in its sort of forced ending, its weird details. But again, they couldn't do the original version, which had like all the sea animals coming to their rescue. So I can see why they threw in the Bog Brothers. It's either them or the Weasels, and the Bog Brothers are kind of just the go-to bad guys when the Weasels aren't around. And it wouldn't make much sense for the Weasels to be living in the swamp. We know they live underground, the Bogses live in the swamp. So that's it. Like, really, that is it. The Berenstain Bears and the Berenstain Bear Scouts, and the Coughing Catfish from 1995. I will add one more thing. The illustrations in this book, there are a few two-page spreads of the pirate ship under the water. There's first that's the it's the Cubs imagining what the pirate ship would look like under the water. It has several bear skeletons, like pirate skeletons, and fish swimming in and out of skulls. And the riggings are all up, and there's treasure chests everywhere. And then there's a great two-page spread near the end when they actually discover the pirate ship. And it is a little more realistic. It's a sort of a busted-up hulk. And there's no treasure. And it's all kind of crumbling and a little bit in pieces. So you get spared the sight of the bears doing a lot of their annoying bear scout stuff. They do use cattails to do their one for all and all for one thing later on, since they don't have anything else to do. There's a weird subplot with gator repellent that smells like Fred's mom's perfume, which is strange. So they're using gator repellent to keep the alligators away from them. And you see this illustration of the bear scouts hiding behind some reeds, a bog brother or a bog, aiming his gun at an alligator. But the alligator is very anthropomorphized. It's risen up on its hind legs. It's holding its nose with its claw. And it's like, P-U. Like, oh boy, what a stink. That gator repellent. And then the bog brother kills it. Like, that's it. Like, this alligator gets killed. It doesn't really matter. Like, that they drew an animal with a personality and then they killed it. Right there on the page, like, it's just dead. So, very good, I guess. But it's worth it alone. This is one of those books that the story is fine, but the illustrations are top-notch. It is not available as a digital book, unfortunately. You have to buy a used copy of this one, and you can usually do that, like I always say, for just a couple of bucks online. It's a worthy edition because it looks really cool, and you learn some interesting history about Bear Country. You learn that they had pirates 200 years ago that would come up however they got to Lake Grizzly and, I guess, chill out in Bear Country for a while, whatever Bear Town was called at that point. And you sort of get the sense this would have been around the time of, like, you know, the a little before the Great Grizzly Bear War. And, you know, this is pre-Civil War, but, you know, post the initial, like, settling of Bear Country by the, I guess, invasive grizzlies and brown bears. I guess that's how it works. We don't know who was there first. We know that there's the equivalent of a Native American population in Bear Country because we've seen proof of that in some stories. So again, we're not given a lot of, like, cultural history here, but a lot of, like, specific personal and family history is relayed. We know that the Bog Brothers have a history of criminals in their families, as did the Squire Grizzly family. So I guess if you're going to find out about your ancestors in Bear Country, get ready to be sorely distressed and disappointed. But that is it. That is the Berenstain Bear Scouts and the Coughing Catfish. One more thing I wanted to talk about. There's been some stuff going on with Patreon.com. I don't have many patrons, so it doesn't affect a whole lot of people, but it does affect the people who it affects. And for those of you who don't know, Patreon has shifted the way it does payments so that more money is coming out of the bank accounts of the patrons themselves. And if you're a small patron, you're actually paying a lot more in fees than the people who are paying large amounts to a few shows. And that kind of stinks. So for everyone who is a supporter of Deep in Bear Country, I know that I only have a few, but thank you for sticking with me, like, through this change in the way money is dealt with, which I hate. I hate money. I hate dealing with it. And if you're out there listening and you want to join the Deep in Bear Country Patreon, I don't ask for much. If you donate above a certain amount, you get to ask me a question and I'll answer it on the air. So that's fun. Go over to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. And if you want to become a patron, just sign on up. If you really want to support the show and keep me going, it would really help out. I've been doing this show for over 2 years now, and I don't see any sign of stopping, but it helps to get a little more change, a little more loose change, so I can buy more of these Berenstain Bear books and sort of keep myself going, keep myself in working equipment. Otherwise, if you could go over to iTunes, and look up Deep in Bear Country and drop a review my way. Give me some stars and let me know what you think. Write up a couple of sentences about the show. I'd really appreciate it. I'd really appreciate the boost to my profile. We've gotten a few more listeners, which is really cool, and I would love to have a ton more. So write a review, tell me what you like, tell me what you wish I would do more of or do less of, maybe, and I would love to read it. I would love to read what people have to say about the show. Otherwise, I will be back soon with more Berenstain Bears fun. We are entering the holiday season, so if things for like a couple of weeks are a little wonky as far as like when I get stuff out, that's mostly just because it's Hanukkah, then it's Christmas, and we're just... Oh, someone just called. I was really confused because I heard a voice talking, and it was the answering machine in the kitchen. Sorry. I just got really distracted and kind of freaked out because it sounded like there was somebody in my house. Anyway, thanks so much for supporting the show and listening, and I appreciate everybody, and I will see you all next week deep in bear country. That was really weird. That was like my adrenaline just shot up through the roof. That was crazy. Anyway, goodbye.